I'm not a good speaker, but I don't need to be, because the Lord's going to use me. And I just have one thing in common with everyone here. I, 13 years ago, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to try to tell you that gospel and, yeah, try to be clear, I guess, and maybe I'll just pray that the Lord would give me help before I get started. Our Father in heaven, thank you for just this gospel that we can preach. Thank you that just all the people that are coming out and want to hear this, just please help me with nervousness, and just to be clear, just please help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my message, I'm going to start off. All through the Old Testament, there was prophets, people who were talking about Jesus before he came. And they just prophesied the crucifixion. They said Jesus would come. They didn't name him by name, but they said he would come and die on the cross for our sins. And they just, it's crazy to me, and I keep discovering more and more about it. So I'm going to start, Genesis 3, this is about 4,000 or so years before Jesus was even born. So Genesis 3 and 15, and, I'm going to read something that's maybe a little bit easier to understand, and guys can try to follow along, or you can listen. So this is God himself talking to the serpent, the snake, who deceived Eve and caused her to sin. So it says, "I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." So, when you think of the offspring of snakes, you think of, I think everybody knows what comes from snakes. It's evil. It says in verse 14, it says, God said to the serpent, "Because you have deceived man, you will be cursed more than any other animal, anything in the world. The snake is cursed, and it is just known that the snake is evil." The offspring of woman, on the other hand, there's all kinds of people that came from the woman. There's people in the Bible like Abraham, Noah, David. There's all these people. But when you think of the offspring of woman, I think we can all think of the most important offspring of woman, the offspring, the son of Mary, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so, I'll read this again. It says, "There will be hostility between your offspring, the snake's offspring, and her offspring." So, "He will strike your head." So Jesus, I take that as Jesus will strike the head of the snake. Jesus will strike evil, and you will strike his heel. So Jesus will suffer. You will strike his heel. He will suffer. So Jesus will suffer to defeat evil. That's pretty powerful. And that's straight from God's word, the third chapter of the Bible. Now I will read from Psalm 22. Hopefully you guys can are able to follow this or understand what I'm saying. Psalm 22, verses 1, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring." And a more simple translation says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away from me when I groan for help?" If you go down to verse 6, it says, "I'm a worm and not a man. I'm scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me." They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." And then later in verse 16 it says, "My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing." Anyone who's familiar with that knows that that happens another part in the Bible. We can go to Matthew 27, talking about the crucifixion. Matthew 27, I'll go to verse 35. It says, "After they nailed him to the cross, after they crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots. So they threw dice and gambled for his clothes," as I just read in Psalm, 1,000 years before, over 1,000 years before all this happened. So they parted my garments among them, and they casted lots. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is the King of the Jews." There were two revolutionaries, two people who rebelled against the government, on his right and on his left. People passing by were mocking him. They shook their heads in mockery. They said, "Look at you now. Save yourself. Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders, they said, "He saved others. Himself he can't save. He can't save himself. Let him come down from the cross and we'll believe in him." They're mocking him, like disgusting what they did to him. They whipped him till his back looked like it was plowed by a combine. It was just disgusting what we did to him. And the Lord still offered him to save us. So that is the story of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I will go back to Isaiah 53. A lot of people are probably familiar with this. This one I'll read in an easier translation, just for those of you who may not understand as well or haven't heard it. I'll read verse 5. It says, "He was pierced for our rebellion. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could have peace. We could be whole. And he was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have strayed everyone to his own way." We have all went our own way. We all do what we think is right. We think we know what's good, what the world calls good. We just do that. We strayed away. But then, in John, this is Jesus' words. Jesus' words. So it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." John 10 and 27. Just coming off of Isaiah 53, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And then John 10 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So we've all gone astray, but we choose to follow Jesus. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." We are all sheep. We all stray away. We do what we think is right. But if we follow Jesus, he will never let us down. We can't lose that. That's a promise. And even back in Isaiah 53, it says, we've all strayed away. We left God's path. We left his path to follow our own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our sins he paid for on that cross. That's all there is to it. We all have a court date. And so say I got pulled over not too long ago, maybe a year ago. And I don't know, I sinned. I knew I was speeding. I was going 23 over the speed limit in Summerside. Pretty dumb. But I knew I was guilty, and I had a court date. So, well, I went to the court. I didn't actually sit in court or anything because I knew I was guilty. So I went to that. I paid that ticket. That is just like anyone here who doesn't accept Christ. You will have to pay that. You will have to pay for your own sins. And that, it says somewhere else in the Bible that it's not God's will for anyone to perish or for anyone to die for their own sins because Jesus paid for it. So that is exactly like, say I had that court date and then Kevin came up. He came to the courthouse and I was walking up with my phone, my Apple Pay to pay for it. And Kevin reached over and paid for it in front of me. All I had to do was say, Kevin, thank you for paying for my ticket. The same way, thank the Lord for paying for your sins. There's a verse over there, I think it is, says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but has eternal life. That's a promise. And Romans 5, verse 6 says, you know I'm nervous when I forget this verse. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm ungodly. But Christ died for me. Christ died for everyone here. All you have to do is accept it. And that's my message.